stand, please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Everybody awake? Is everybody awake? Now I want you to be as excited as you were yesterday when you were watching those dogs. Georgia Bulldogs. I'm saying it the way y'all write it, okay? Last week, we listened to Paul's writing in the book of Romans. We learned that Paul had a deep desire, a great desire for those who lived in the city of Rome. He desired that those people that were there would know the same Jesus that he knew. That those people would allow Jesus to change their lives the very same way he had changed his life. Paul declared to his writers that he indeed knew what it was that kept them from the knowledge of Christ, and that was the law. The people of Rome were trying to keep the letter of the law, and Paul told them that it was impossible. We learn that keeping the full measure of the law could get a person into heaven, but there was only one man who was ever able to complete such a task, and that man was Jesus. That's a good place for an amen. Amen. There we go. We learn that the law was never intended to save, but was intended to show men how desperately they needed a Savior. We then saw how easy God made it for those to meet the Savior by confessing Jesus as their Savior and believing in their heart that God had raised him from the dead. Today I want to preach a message entitled, What If? What if? What if? I once heard a radio announcer by the name of John Hancock, and these aren't his words, but I once heard a commentator, John Hancock, say this. He said, and y'all have probably heard this before, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Now let me say that again. If and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. We'd all have an abundance because everything you ever hear from anybody is if or but. If or but. Just about any time you ask somebody, why don't you do this? Well, if or but. Where have you been? If or but. Can you help me do this? Well, if or but. We hear that all the time. If we had candy and nuts instead of if and buts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas bunch because we have an abundance of it. We'd have heaps of it. We could do 1,000 boxes with candy and nuts because of all the ifs and buts. Right? We really could. Now, this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 7, very familiar verse. I've quoted it many times. I've even used it as a accentual verse in a message in times past. Chapter 7, verse 21 says this. This is Jesus saying. Jesus is saying this. It's in red. So if Jesus says it's important, amen? If it's in the Bible, it's important. If it's in the Bible and Jesus says it, or if it's just in the Bible, it's important. We need to listen to it, adhere to it. And listen, what we're going to read this morning ought to be scary. This is one of the scariest verses in all the Bible to me. Jesus says this in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, when you die and you stand before God is what Jesus is talking about. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, asking you to settle us. Lord, help us this morning just to pay attention to you. Don't let there be any moving around. Settle every part of our bodies, God, that we're not interrupting ourselves or anybody around us as this message is being preached. This message is very important, God, not because I'm preaching it, because, God, you want it heard. Help us, Lord, to hear your message, apply it to our hearts, and take it to our mission fields, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Is it kind of odd how Jesus finished verse 23? Listen to what he said in verse 23. He says, then I will announce to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of evil, you lawbreakers. The King James Version of this Bible uses, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The more literal translation says, depart from me, you lawbreakers. Do you think Jesus was pointing back to the very people Paul was referring to in the book of Romans that we talked about last week? Those who felt if they could just keep the full letter of the law, they could appease God and gain admittance into heaven when they died. Listen to me, church. You need to pay attention, because that's what the vast majority of people who come to church on Sunday morning are doing. They think that they are appeasing God, and you cannot appease a holy and a righteous God. You cannot do it. I fear more for Sunday morning Christians than I do anybody else who's claimed that they're Christian. What this action is called is legalism. And can I tell you that there are many forms of legalism in our world today? Legalism is one of the main things, if not the main thing, that keeps people from knowing Jesus. And that same legalism keeps those same people out of heaven for not knowing Jesus. So let's consider some what-if scenarios this morning. Some what-if scenarios. And listen, I want to tell you, I said this a few seconds ago, this scripture to me is one of the scariest scriptures in all the Bible. And can I tell you, it's one of the scariest scriptures in all the Bible because it scares me. And if it scares me, listen, it ought to scare you. Let's look at an incomplete long list of what-if scenarios. Now, Brother Frank, this is not complete. I did not exhaust this what if, because I promise you, after you listen to this message, you might be driving down the road and say, Brother Kyle should have used this one and used this one. There's many, many what if scenarios. So we're just going to touch the top. So here's the list. Number one, what if Jesus had never come? Now, I preached a message some years back around Christmas time, and that was the title of the message. What if Jesus had never come? Now, I'm not going to delve into that message, but I'm going to explore a different aspect of it this morning. What if Jesus had never come? Church, we would still be bound to the law, a list of do's and don'ts. We would have to accept the Jewish faith as the faith, as it was the faith that led people to God. But in doing so, we would have to weed through all of the legalism and extensions of the law that the Jews had added to burden the people. Church, can you imagine how long that list of legalism would have been had Jesus not come and broken the bonds of the law? Can you imagine how many people would have died and gone to hell to this day because they could not and would not meet the requirements of the law? Now think with me here for a second. At the time of Christ breaking the bonds of legalism in Scripture, at that point in time, there were over 300 extensions to the law that the Jews had proclaimed were the law. And you had to weed through every single one of them to find the perfect law of God to gain entrance into heaven through the Jewish faith. Does that not just scare you to death? How do you weed through that? How do you find salvation? Jesus made a way and he broke the bonds, praise God. Amen? We don't have to worry about the what if Jesus never came, because Jesus came. That gives us freedom. In a lot of ways, Veteran Days is a day that we celebrate the freedom that we have from in America because of those who sacrificed for us. Because Jesus came, that was the first of many, many sacrifices that he made for us. He came to this world. We don't have to wonder, what if, Brother Ricky Tyre? We know the results of what happened when Jesus came. Amen? But there's another what if. Church, what if religion didn't exist? I heard some woo. What if religion did not exist? Now understand that I am not saying what if the church did not exist. The church is not, it should not be religion. A lot of times it is. But it doesn't have to be. What I am saying is, what if religion did not exist. Church religion may very well be our equivalent to what the Jews did with the Lord, with the law of God back in the days of Christ. Religion. Think about that. All the extensions that the Jews made, the requirements for appeasing God, man has done the very same day in our time through religion. Listen to me. There are over 26 main religious Christian denominations in the world today. 26. That's a lot, isn't it? There are 26 main Christian denominations in the world. That's shocking. But what I'm getting ready to tell you next is even more shocking. And there are an estimated 40,000 splinters off the 26 main denominations. Does that shock y'all? 26 main Christian denominations. 40,000 splinters off 26 main Christian denominations. Church, the Jewish extensions of the law kept people from knowing the one true God, and our religious denominations are doing the very same thing, and we call it differences of doctrine and theology. I call it legalism. Jesus created the church, and we as Christians have marred his creation by pushing, and in many cases, our own man-made doctrine and theology that has absolutely zero scriptural basis. Why do you do it? Well, we've just always done it. Is it scriptural? Well, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, then you ought not do it. Well, I think it's scriptural. Have you studied it? Well, no. That makes you a lazy Christian, right? What are some of these? You have to be baptized to be saved. You have to be baptized to be saved. You have to speak in unknown tongues to be saved. You have to belong to a certain church or a denomination to be saved. You have to go through a certain number of classes to be saved. You have to take the Lord's Supper every week to be saved. You have to keep the Sabbath to be saved. Church, that is man-made mumbo-jumbo junk that we've added to through our culture and our traditions that Scripture says is nonsense. That's religion. It's religion. What could the world look like today if church would have just remained the church? What if? What if? And instead of following tradition and popular culture, we stayed with the Word of God. Thus says the Word of God. What would the world look like? What would the church today look like? What would hell look like if man would have kept his mouth shut and followed the Word of God? Well, Brother Kyle, I feel this. I feel this. I've said it a million times, and you'll probably hear me say it a million more times. God could care less what your opinion is. Amen. If it's not in the Word of God, you keep your mouth shut because you don't have an opinion. God doesn't care what your opinion is. His Word is and should be your opinion. I'm so sick and tired of Christians floundering, saying, oh, how I love Jesus, but they support people who are ungodly. They support them not only through their finances, but they support them through their loyalty. Godless people who believe in slaughtering children, and they'll stand in a long line and put them in office. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I've got another what if. What if the Holy Spirit of God never came to the earth? What if the Holy Spirit of God never came to earth? Now, listen to this scenario, because it's kind of humorous, but it's not funny at all. Listen to this. What if the Holy Spirit of God, when it was His time for Him to come to the earth and enter the hearts of believers, looked at God the Father and God the Son and said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Did you not just see what they did to Jesus? Have you already forgotten that Jesus was gone for 33 years? He didn't sit on his throne. And when he came home, he bore the scars of the world in his hands and his feet.
Father, they hung him on a Roman cross. The religious leaders, God, that you created, that you placed in position to make that a great race of people for yourself, denied your son and falsely accused him. They beat and spat on him and they butchered him. And now you want me to go? I don't think so. Wouldn't that be the natural reaction that the Holy Spirit should have taken? Don't you think? Days after Jesus comes back, less than 60 days after Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit is wrangled up and said, go down and be in the hearts of man. Really? Man? Those people you created who killed your son. Anybody want to sign up for that? Could you imagine the Holy Spirit, what he really felt about the people whose hearts he was getting ready to enter? How they tortured the Son of God, a part of his very being? And now, God, you want me to enter these people? What if the Holy Spirit never came? Mr. Holman, aren't you glad we don't have to wonder that for too long? Because the Holy Spirit did come. In great power and great might. And he does live within the hearts of man. Most of the time, man doesn't listen to him, but the Holy Spirit lives within you. And we heard testimony this morning of how God, through the Holy Spirit, entered the hearts of man and spoke to the hearts of men. And in the last 2 days, God used these men. God wants to use each and every one of us. We don't have to wonder. Mr. Taylor, we don't have to wonder what it would be like if the Holy Spirit of God never came. Praise God. But church, we have something else to think about and to ponder and to ask, what if? Church, what if the apostles of Christ would have done on the day of ascension what they were known for doing? Now think, Wednesday night class, we were just talking about this past week, on the day of ascension when Jesus rose through the clouds. The apostles were present. If they would have done what they were known to do, what would have happened? Well, Brother Kyle, hold on a second. What is it they were known to do? When Jesus ascended into heaven, leaving these men with great responsibility of spreading the gospel, what if they would have run and hid? That's what they were good at. Can I tell you that's what Christians are good at too? We'll accept Jesus as our personal Savior, but don't ask me to do anything with him. I'll run and hide. I don't want to have to tell people about Jesus. I don't know how you can be a Christian and not tell people about Jesus. I really don't. I don't know why you'd want to tell people you're a Christian if you don't want to tell them about Jesus. Brother Kyle, it's getting hard out there. You don't know how I'd have to suffer. Well, Jesus didn't suffer for you. Is he not worth it? Well, I think so. Church, Wednesday night, our Wednesday night class will remember that Jesus' last orders for these men to start their ministry was where? Jerusalem. Before he ascended in the clouds, Jesus told them, start your ministry in Jerusalem. Book of John records it. Book of Luke records it. Start in Jerusalem. Where? In Jerusalem? In Jerusalem? Are you kidding me, Jesus? That is where all the people were that killed you. We're up for a challenge. Most of us are fishermen. We live for a challenge. But those priests in Jerusalem, Jesus, they don't play. They do not play. Send us anywhere. Send us somewhere else. Anywhere else. These men had spent 3 years on the mission field with Jesus and had bucked the system Jesus was trying to teach them just about every opportunity. And if there could have been, if there would have been bookies back in that day, the odds of them, these men running, would have been 10 to 1. 10 to 1. But church, they didn't run. For one of the first of many more days to come, these men were obedient to God and to the Word of God. We are who we are today because these men finally took a stand and would not be moved. They took on every consequence
that preaching the gospel and spreading the gospel was going to, they would have to bear upon themselves. Most were brutally murdered. Some were skinned alive. Peter, through the whole ordeal that Peter went through, when they finally got their hands on Peter and decided they were going to execute Peter, they proclaimed that he too was going to die just like Jesus on a Roman cross. And Peter begged them not to let him die the same way Jesus. He didn't deserve it. So instead of Peter being hung on a cross the normal way, Peter was hung upside down. Where did all that vigor and passion come from? And if they had all that vigor and passion, where is our vigor and passion for the Lord in the same way? Now let's get back to our scripture today. Got one more what if. Look at our scripture again today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Now everyone, does that exclude anyone? Miss Desi, does that exclude anyone? Now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter... to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, how many? Many. As a matter of fact, listen, when we find ourselves in the presence of God and we fall flat on our face, we're going to be claiming, Lord, 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 I don't care whether you're saved or not, you're going to be claiming, Lord, Lord. Well, hold on a second. Everybody goes to heaven. Every person who's ever walked this earth goes to heaven for a short period of time. Everybody. Brother Kyle, where do you get that from? Scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Jesus isn't going to hell for you. You will stand before him in his throne room in heaven. Some of you just aren't staying very long. Brother Kyle, that's kind of a mean thing to say. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be scriptural. I'm trying to tell you it is my obligation as a pastor, as a preacher of the Word of God, to warn you, to wake you, to shake you, and to let you understand what Jesus said here. Some of you this morning are going to stand before Jesus, my Jesus, thinking that you're saved and you're just as lost as you've ever been, and you're going to die and go to hell. You self-righteous, self-imposed person. You've never changed. You've never let Jesus change you. Brother Kyle, that's mean. I'm just telling you what Scripture says this morning. He says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name, preachers? Didn't I prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Yeah, you did. But you did it for you and not me. Depart from me, I never knew you. Those words are going to be hard for us to hear, but they're going to be hard for him to say, I'm sure, because he died for you. Everything that Jesus did, he did for you. Everything that Jesus did, he did for you. Everything, Cynthia, everything Jesus ever did, he did for you. Church, what if? What if? Church, what if your name's not on that list? What if your name's not on the Lamb's Book of Life, in the Lamb's Book of Life? What if your child's name or grandchild's name isn't on that list? Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Right now, my little baby granddaughter, Winnie Kate, she's 1 year old. 1 year old. She was born into this world in sin. That sweet little tornado who never stops, Scripture says, was born into this world in sin. That means she sins. Now, according to Scripture, she is under the blood of Jesus right now because she hasn't reached an age of accountability where she has to make a decision. If something were to happen to that sweet little baby,
she would go to heaven, according to Scripture. But a day's coming. Barbara, a day's coming. And it falls kind of along the lines of Jewish tradition. When does a child become a man in Jewish tradition? A boy. Around 13. And it's different for different children. But Jewish tradition says around 13. Around girls, it's around 14. They have a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah to celebrate them ushering into adulthood. Somewhere along the lines from the time a child is born until they get to that around that age, they're okay. And most of us treat them as if they're okay. And that they'll make the right decision. And they'll do the right thing. And they'll accept Christ. Well, I'm here to tell y'all that most children don't do the right thing. Do you hear me? And it's very odd. Used to be, when I was a youth pastor, if a child didn't accept Christ by the time they were 16, there was an 80% chance that they wouldn't. But it's odd. In the past 10 years, that number's changed. If a child doesn't accept Christ by the time they're 14, there's now an 80% chance that they won't. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying here? I'm kind of confused. Right now, my granddaughter's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. She's one. So what do you do, Brother Kyle? You pray for her, right? Yeah, I do. First time I held that baby in my hands, I looked at her and I said, "Sweetie, Jesus loves you, and He died for you. He rose from the grave for you, and one day He's coming again." Gosh, the day she was born, yep, the very day she was born is when I started telling my granddaughter and my children about Jesus. Because listen to me, as much as I tell them about Jesus, the world tells them that Jesus doesn't exist. Our culture is a pagan culture, whether you want to realize it or not. The people who are running our country are a bunch of pagans on both sides of the aisle. They desecrate the name of God, the Word of God, and they spit in the face of our God. It is our job, not politicians, and it's not my job to raise your children. It's your job to raise your children and to tell them about Jesus from the time that they can, from the very time they come out of their mother's womb. And you do not stop. Listen, you know when you stop? When they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And after that, you love them and pray for them. And you live as an example for them in front of them every single day. Church, what if your best friend, your neighbor, your co-worker's name is not on this list? Can you live with yourself when you die? Can you sleep at night knowing that you did and you knew everything you could do to win them for the glory of God? Can you keep your mind at ease knowing that you lived a Christian life in front of them? That they knew that God was the most important thing in your life? We are one day closer to either our death, our loved one's death, or the return of Christ. And it blows my mind that our urgency to win people to Jesus has not intensified. Listen to me. If you don't have an urgency for more of Jesus instead of less of Jesus, I don't believe you're saved. I don't believe you're saved. What are you saying, Brother Kyle? Listen to this again. Please listen to this again. Jesus said this. I didn't say this. He said, listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of the Father in heaven. If you don't have a greater intensity to know more about Jesus, something's wrong there. You ought to be scared. I'm scared, and I'm a preacher of the Word of God. Listen, some of you, I'm not going to see you for another week. You have no desire, no hunger, no thirst for the Word of God. You could care less what's being taught here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Shame on you. Shame on you for calling yourselves a Christian. How can you? Well, Brother Kyle, I can do it at home. Yes, you can. The Bible says, forsake yourself, not the assembling of the saints of God. Iron sharpens iron. This is where you get your greatest strength from. Not because of me. I'm just a mortal man made of clay. One day I'm going to die just like you. How can you turn your back on something that Jesus loves so much, the church, and say you love him as much as he loves you? I don't get it. I don't understand. Church, I want you to please understand. I could go on and on and on about this, but I'm gonna hit on two little things here. A few minutes ago, we took up an offering. We did. This is two plates. This is two plates. You say you love Jesus and you can't even give back a 10% of what he gave you? You can't live by giving him 10%? Does that make any sense to you? Now, I'm not saying you're dying and going to hell if you don't tithe. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is this. How in the world can you say that I'm a Christian? I love Jesus. I support Jesus. I want to do everything I can to win people for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I can't support them financially. No, you've chosen other things in this world just like the culture of that day, and you've excluded Jesus. You've pushed him out just a little. You're continually just pushing him out a little more and a little more. Everything's more important. This seems insignificant to you because it is insignificant to you. Church, please understand me, and I am not embellishing this fact whatsoever at all. If you watch the tithes of this church and every church in the South, if you watch the very first of the month, we have an enormous amount of money coming in. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't meet budget throughout the rest of the month. We would not. The second week is below budget. The third week is usually below budget. The fourth week is a crapshoot, whether it's going to be hitting budget or not. Most of the time, we hit or go just a little above budget. What are you saying here, Brother Kyle? When the older generation dies out, those who are 50 and above, when they die, the church across America is going to die. Brother Kyle, you're exaggerating a bit. No, I'm not. We cannot sustain ourselves. We cannot. On the meek offering, not tithing, the offering that is given by so-called Christians. Church, is your name written in the book of life? Is your name? I can't answer for me. I can't answer for Amy. I can only answer for me. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who can tell? If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's there should be such a change in your life that other people ought to be able to tell. They ought to see a difference, know a difference. Can anyone else tell that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do your actions and appetite, listen, do your actions and appetite for the Lord give you any indication that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What does your appetite tell you? Is your appetite more for the world and the things of this world than they are of God? Well, I don't know, Brother Kyle. Look at your day planner and your checkbook, and you can tell out real quick where your appetite is. Is your appetite lined up with your name being in the Word of God, the Lamb's Book of Life? Or are you still of this world? Jesus wrote this that we might listen and fear.
Brother Kyle, are you trying to scare me? If trying to scare you, if you're scared, listen, and it gets you out of hell, praise God. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father in heaven, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us. Jesus, as I've said so many times, God, I have to say it again, please let your Holy Spirit open our eyes right now to show us who we are in your sight. Help us to see ourselves as you see us this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? Are you truly saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What does your appetite tell you about your salvation?